Nick Wilson, Spencer German back on Afternoon Drive. We're having a conversation about Jameis Winston and about Kevin Stefanski's comments today that his plan is to start Jameis for the rest of the season, but we're all week to week in football, which was the mother of all.
Aren't we all week to week just in general?
I mean, I'm kind of day to day. Like, I'm just, I like, every morning I wake up and I'm like, okay, I'll do it. All right, I'll go to work. I'll be an adult. I'm mostly doing it because I think my kids need that right now. Like, every day my kids wake up and like, do we have to? And I'm like, yeah, but I can't let them know that I have that exact same thought. Like, the first thought is, it's 6 a.m. You got to go wake up your oldest kid. My second thought is, the dog is laying on my feet again. And then, because he just gets super excited, he's like, dad's up. Awesome. Time to party. And then the third thought is, we're going to do it? Okay, I think we'll do it. All right, I mean, we don't really have a lot of options beyond this. And at some point, work is going to catch on. But, no, I mean, I think it's interesting. Like, I don't think, like, I think Jameis is the only guy. Well, okay, no. I think DeJuan Jones might be week to week as well. Like, I think
that's probably fair.
I still don't know that Jameis is actually hurt. I still am a little conspiratorial that Jedrick.
I was going to say.
Got my J's mixed up.
I was like, did I miss something?
These things happen.
Did Jameis injure himself today?
But not yet, but he is capable of it.
Yeah, he's week to week, as we know.
With Jed, like, I still don't know I buy 100% that he has some sort of malady going on. Like, it's a quiet benching instead of quiet quitting.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think DeJuan is week to week.
Well,
I think that's a guy that's playing for something like 2 weeks from now, as opposed to most guys who are pretty much guaranteed their spot.
I think that the DeJuan situation is an interesting one, because we talk about, like, evaluating different positions. I think he does have some runway here, because right now your options at left tackle aren't great anyway, like, unless you try Jack Conklin over there and that's what you decide to do. But given where the season's at, it's either, all right, let's keep putting Jed out there and see if we really are going to give him a contract extension, or let's see if DeJuan Jones can actually play this position now that he's slimmed down a little bit and he's a little bit healthier than he was because he had a couple weeks off. And if so, then maybe we find our left tackle of the future here and we don't have to worry about Jed Wills anymore. So the difference with that situation is, like, they don't really have a lot of other places to turn. Like, it's either back to Jed or it's DeJuan. And I think we kind of know what we're getting with Jed at this point, so why not?
Yeah, but real quick on that, because when I've said, like, the easiest win in the world is, if this season is over, if you want to regain the locker room, is bench Jed's ass. Like, they can like the guy. If you and I can see that he's not playing through the whistle, and by the way, that goes back to Bill Callahan saying it his rookie year, his sophomore year, his junior year. By the way, last year, heading into year four, now in year five, like, at some point, it's just who you are. That's fine. I don't dislike you. I can't trust you. But, like, it's just weird that, like, specific to DeJuan, like, the whole thing, the reason why nobody else got a crack at left tackle was, well, who are they going to put over there? And every time you said, well, what about DeJuan? It was, well, they don't think he's a... And so that, doesn't this disprove that? That doesn't this kind of, like... They clearly were paying. They're clearly playing Jed for the same reason they were clearly playing DeJuan, and that's the money and any hopes at extending that investment.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the difference is DeJuan. You already had paid, and it was like you're sort of locked into this thing, so you kind of have to. Jed, it was more. All right, let's get one final look at whether or not we're really going to extend this guy, because we probably want to, because he's a first round pick and he's Andrew Berry's first round pick. So, yeah, like, but the situations are similar in that way. In relation to the Jameis thing, though, what's also interesting about the way Kevin worded that today is that we're only 2 weeks removed from him, emphatically announcing that DeJuan is the starting quarterback and he gives him the best chance to win. And now you're at a point where Jameis is out there and has the best game that any quarterback has had this season. And the best he could do was, he's our starter, but as you know, we're week to week.
So it's
there was no week to week with DeJuan. There was never he's our starter because he gives us the best chance to win. But, you know, we're all week to week. It was an emphatic thing that he was the starting quarterback.
But that's kind of what makes it so interesting, is I don't know if they're aware of this or not. Kevin could come out and say anything right now. Kevin could come out and just unload his deepest, darkest thoughts. And we'd kind of all go, and? Like, Kevin's credibility with fans is nil. And maybe that's not his fault. But, like, I'll be honest with you.
Is it nil, though? I don't know.
Well, I should say with messaging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I meant like when he says something. Okay. So like even
because I was gonna say I know there's a contingent of fans that are ready to fire Kevin Stefanski and have been for several years, but I also know there's a contingent of fans who are like, that's our guy. He's 2-time coach of the year. So that's why I was confused. But it makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah. So, but I do think like you know if Kevin, I think couching this opens it up to. I think it confirms that I really do think Jameis is week to week. Like, in the truest sense of the word. Like, if you go out there and throw three picks and you lose to the Chargers, it's back to the drawing board heading into the bye week because 2 weeks might be just enough time to see if DTR actually knows he's going to play against New Orleans. But with that, he could have come out. Kevin could have just said, yes, my plan going forward is to start Jameis Winston for the rest of the year. And I would not have believed him. Because of, and it's not just the Deshaun thing. One, Kevin is bad when he does try to give details. And two, in most of the time, he spends it saying nothing at all. And so the genius of this is, well, no one's going to hold you accountable for your words because you just don't stand for anything when it comes to dealing with the PR. The danger of it is no one's going to believe you, even if you tell the biggest truth you have right to everybody in the eye, because it's like, I don't know what this guy's driving at. He doesn't strike me as a guy who speaks the truth. I wonder whether that impacts the locker room or not.
Well, and I think that honestly his comments today sort of does speak to the entire locker room as a whole. Like I think just like Jameis, I think everybody is kind of under a state of evaluation right now. I said it last night, like this game on Sunday is, and I know you can go back each week and say, this is the biggest game of the season, this is the biggest game of the season. But I do think like this game Sunday basically determines where the Browns go from here in 2024. If they win this game on Sunday, I do think they'll spend the bye week talking themselves into, in the couple days before the trade deadline officially hits, they'll spend a couple days kind of talking themselves into this idea of, well, hey, we have a bye week. We come out, we play a bad Saints team. Maybe we can start building some momentum. Like they'll talk themselves into this idea that they can still make a run down the stretch of the season. But in the same breath, like if they lose on Sunday, then I think it becomes about like not just Jameis, but like what pieces and parts are still going to be here after the bye week anyway, because maybe we can start now accumulating draft picks. Because once you get to 7 losses, you know that your margin for error is basically like nil, because at that point, like you got to basically win out to have a really good shot. You could maybe be 9-8.
Is there really a difference between six losses and 7 wins at this point in the season?
Well, you were 11-6 last year. Doesn't this just feel like a spot?
If they lost, doesn't it? Well, yeah, but like, okay, to get to 9 wins, which I don't know gets you in the playoffs, you have to go 7-2. And the problem is this thing becomes a gauntlet after New Orleans. Pittsburgh twice, yeah. Baltimore again, Cincinnati again, Kansas City, Miami.
Miami, which is whatever, but they have Tua back, and if he can stay healthy, yeah.
Like, that's just, I hear what you're saying, yeah. And I do, we'll get into more of that.
My larger point is just that I think this was, like, him saying, and he did say, he did say the word we, like, we are all week to week in football. I do think, like,
You're starting to do the dangerous thing of applying too much meaning to Kevin, by the way. We're parsing the words to a paralytical part.
I'm not trying to say he meant that like wholeheartedly as like everybody on the team, but I do think it speaks to the idea that like the entire team right now is kind of in an evaluation mode. Like they're evaluating everything before the deadline. They're evaluating everything once they play this game on Sunday, the deadline finally hits and it expires in terms of who's going to be here next year. So, I do think like everything is getting evaluated, Jameis included, which is why, to your point, I don't believe that we know for sure Jameis is going to start the rest of the season.
So, is there, I guess this is where kind of we go, because I do want to get back to the deadline and where you are and the weight of this Chargers game, because I think there's a lot of there to get into. But specific to the Jameis stuff, do you see a path forward for Jameis to become the guy?
I mean, if they go on some magical run and he's, you know, playing really good football, even if they don't make the playoffs, though, like, I could see them talking themselves into, okay, like, we had this with Flacco last year and we didn't bring the guy back, but we can't possibly try to salvage this thing with Deshaun anymore, so we need some stability there. So, yeah, I could 100% see them if they get at least the quarterback play that we... I understand that Jameis is kind of risk-averse the way he plays, like we sort of said in the same way Joe Flacco was, But I don't know that they'd make that same mistake twice of being like, all right, we're going to let this guy walk for nothing. I think they would actually consider bringing that guy back and being like, you're going to be our starter, even if they draft a rookie quarterback, and kind of use Jameis as kind of a bridge in that situation.
So I think there's a few things we know in this situation, and there's a few things we don't know. Point blank, Jameis Winston is more than talented enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, everyone scoffed, because he said it a few times, I know when I'm playing my best ball, I'm an elite quarterback in the NFL. I disagree with that statement, but when it comes to what makes a difference in 2024, which is, can you make big plays, Jameis is. Like, that guy is a big play waiting to happen because he has a howitzer for a right arm, and he does have some brass ones on him, almost to the point of stupidity sometimes, yeah. But yeah, they're brass, and they're sizable.
let me put it to you this way. The
first comment on his set. I'm kidding. Don't do it.
Go ahead. Well, Nick, I was in the locker room. No.
Sketch it on a pad.
What?
Don't.
What a lot of fans were saying about Deshaun at the beginning of the season, where they were like, if he can just be this level of quarterback, if he can just be a top 15 quarterback in football, I think we have a good chance of winning. I feel more confident that Jameis can be that guy for you than what Deshaun Watson was. And the difference is, like, you kind of, like, that's the bar for Jameis. There's no, like, hanging over the head where it was with Deshaun, where it was like, well, if he can just be this, that's great, but he still should be this because this is what you traded for and this is what he used to be. With Jameis, it's like, he's never been a top 5 quarterback. He's never been a top 10 quarterback. But if he can be in that sort of middle group, he is the quarterback that fans thought Deshaun could be this year that at least keeps you competitive enough to make the playoffs and maybe do something special. And for that reason, I could see the Browns being like, hey, let's bring him back this time, unlike we did with Flacco. He is younger, significantly younger than Flacco, so that helps the cause a little bit here. And he can kind of be our bridge to this new era with whatever quarterback we end up drafting this year, next year, whatever.
So it's interesting. I think, and listen, I think fans enjoyed what they saw on Sunday. But I think a fair amount of people are where with Jameis after one game, where I think a lot of people were with Deshaun coming into this season. Where, like, when we would talk about, can Deshaun be a top 10 quarterback? We knew people were listening. But, man, nobody wanted to step on that ledge. Nobody wanted to say, yep, this is the guy, and this is why he's the guy. And there's a lot of things that go into that. Like, we kind of started the conversation on. But that's what I think it makes Sunday so interesting. Because I don't think Browns fans are going to need a lot of convincing that Jameis can be the guy. Because the expectations are woefully different from Deshaun. Whereas, like, I think Browns fans going into the season, I think there was a lot of quiet, like, I don't really know what this is. A lot of anxiety around it. And for Deshaun to lull that and get people on the bandwagon, it was going to take 8 straight weeks of good football for people to be like, he's our guy, let's go win this damn thing. With Jameis, because the end goal has changed and your responsibility to him financially is different, I don't think it's going to take 8 games. But man, I got to tell you, for his standing here, because this team will not bench him if he's the hot hand and fans are chanting his name. It's not going to happen. They're smart enough to know that's not the time to pick the fight with a fan base you've already got good and pissed off. But good, like, entertaining might not be enough for this Sunday. Like, doubling up the performance of last Sunday with limited interceptions and a lot of big plays, like, that's when the conversation begins. I don't think it should have begun. I think the fans were kind of sitting back and going, I don't know. Like, I like him. He seems cool. Little off. Little bit of a weird dude. But, like, I kind of like the energy. Like, the people who I think are cautiously optimistic or cautiously interested in Jameis, I don't think it's going to take much more than going out in this game. But I think what's interesting, if he has something in between that, what he did on Sunday, and what is, like, the quintessential Jameis performance.
Yeah.
And I think I think we're in a really interesting spot with Jameis in a way that I don't have a lot of definitive answers. And I feel like Browns fans and me are in lockstep here of, like, I don't know. Maybe. He's not Deshaun. I'll take that to the bank.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I mean, obviously the offense wasn't what it was under Deshaun either, and that's a huge step in the right direction. I mean, yeah, like one game you can always write it off potentially as just, well, hey, it's a one game sample size. Anybody can have a good day one day. But if he does it again and he comes close to what he did this past weekend, that's where it's, and the sample size would still be small. It's only two games, but it's like, that's where people start to believe, like, okay, we have our answer. This wasn't just some like cosmic fluke. So it just reaffirms that. I 100% agree.
216-474-0092. Is there a path forward for Jameis to be the guy, not just the rest of the season, but moving forward with the Browns? And I think the biggest obstacle that Jameis has to clear is one that I'm not sure how and if he can do it. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.